bisa pahami perlakuan diriku tak menggugah hatimu.
Here is Newsline. Indonesian Ministry of Creative Economy has affirmed its commitment to supporting the Red and White Village Cooperative as part of the President's strategic program to strengthen village-based creative economies. This commitment was conveyed by Minister of Creative Economy, Tengku Rifki Harsha, during the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding in Jakarta on Thursday. The minister explained, "The Ministry of Cooperatives and the Ministry of Creative Economy have agreed to collaborate to accelerate the launch and operations of Red and White Village Cooperative." Deputy Minister of Primary and Secondary Education of the Republic of Indonesia, Fajar Riza Ul Haq, has told schools that the school revitalization program is not solely concerned with physical infrastructure construction, but a joint effort to boost national education quality. According to him, on Thursday, the improvement of construction of school infrastructure must be accompanied by a change in mindset and a spirit to innovate continuously. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Kecil berlari kesana kemari sambil tertawa riang. Kedua tangannya diayun kiri kanan. Hari ini bahagia terbias di wajahnya. Kita buat hari ini penuh riang, berkumpul bersama teman dan bersenang-senang.
dah di sisiku. Memang kau jauh dariku, namun sama kau di hatiku. Nantikan selalu kehadiranmu.
I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out.
Berbaring di dalam kamar tidurku, menantikan selalu kabar darimu. Melihat fotomu, yes it helps a little. Tak berarti ku tak rindu kau belita.
I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out.
Oh, oh.
I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out.
Cintaku, kan selalu milikmu.
Aku heran, telepon darimu makes it so much better.
I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out.
I believe that.
I believe that we can work it out. I believe that we can work it out.
No.
Jangan kau ragu lagi. Ku kan selalu peduli. Jangan kau takut ku akan pergi. Karena kau selalu ada di hati. Yeah.
Bersamamu,
janganlah kau ragu, kau ada di hatiku.
Aku ini milikmu.
India.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song by Fidi Aldiano. Oxafia Aldiano, also known as Fidi Aldiano, born March 29, 1990, is an Indonesian singer-songwriter. Now Fidi Aldiano used the stage name Fidi, releasing a new song titled Senyumin Dulu Aja or Just Smile. In the creative process of the song, Fidi collaborates with a new music group from Bandung, West Java, Tadi. This music group consists of Fatan Garna and Adi Handoyo, who help in writing and production. This collaboration is realized thanks to an introduction from Indonesian musician Isyana Sarasvati, the owner of the record label that houses Tadi. Not only that, Fidi also invites Isyana as a backing vocal on the song. The song describes Fidi's personal side in dealing with anxiety and bad days. The song has been released and available on all digital streaming platforms since October 25, 2024. The music video for this song was also released on the same day, marking VD's first step back into the music industry. Well, listener, here is the latest single by VD Aldiano entitled Senyumin Dulu Aja. Enjoy!
Bagai di sandra, deadline di muka, cemas meraja, sesaknya di darah. Banyak problema, seperti tanda tua. Ku tak berdaya, akan tak mereda. Lupakan sejenak rasa, beri ruang untuk berdoa, serahkan pada yang punya rencananya.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOA listeners and viewers, July 11 is observed annually as the World Population Day. It's a day to raise awareness about global population issues, focusing on themes like family planning, gender equality, and sustainable development. And this year's theme is empowering young people to create the families they want in a fair and hopeful world. So to find out the details about the celebration, the theme, and more about the World Population Day, joining us on today's VOI Talk, Mr. Hassan Mohtashami, as the representative of United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Hassan. Thank you so much for joining us on Voice of Indonesia Talk.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama. Pleasure is ours. So July 11th is a very special day. And of course, especially for the UNFPA and all of the communities in the world. And as I mentioned before, that this year, the theme carried is empowering young people to create the families they want in a fair and hopeful world. So the question is, why empowering the young people this year?
Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to your audience about this important topic. As you highlighted, World Population Day on 11th of July each year, it is commemorated, and we pay attention to some population trends, population issues each year. And the theme for this year is focusing on youth and youth empowerment to make sure that they achieve what they desire in terms of their family size and their family configuration. And in fact, what I can share with you in response to your question is that UNFPA has recently launched a global report, that State of World Population Report, we call it, every year. This year, the report focused on fertility decisions around the world and what is it that people want in terms of their family size. And they did interview many people in 14 different countries, which, by the way, Indonesia was one of them. And these countries, by the way, cover around 30% of the world population. So we can have a good idea about what are the intentions and decisions of the people and what are the most important element they think. And I think the basic message of this report is simple. Young people, women and men around the world, they actually want to have a family, get married, have two children or even more, and they will enjoy that. It's part of their desired and anticipation and the plan for life. But because of various reasons, there is a distance between what they desire or what they plan and what they actually achieve. For example, globally, over 60% of the people surveyed, and particularly in Indonesia, over 70% of people who were interviewed, they said they wanted to have two children and more. But actually, less than that has achieved what they wanted, 40%. So this shows that the issue is not just about promotion of this idea of family development and youth empowerment, but also providing the opportunity for the young people to grow, to flourish, and to achieve their aspiration, whether it's in the employment field or any other field, and family development aspirations. The main three reasons that they have highlighted is mainly economic issues. And that's why we need to invest in young people and talk to young people more and more to ensure that the aspiration for life is achieved. Thank you.
So empowering young people to create the families they want here, not only related to the number of children that they want to have, but ensure the prosperous life that the whole family will have, right? Economically and also mentally. That's also important, right? And talking about the urgency of fertility issue today, how do you see this?
Oh, that's a very interesting point you raised. Thank you so very much. Actually, there is a hype around fertility, that fertility is going down, it's a crisis and so on. And that actually, I'm an old man, remind me of earlier hype in 50 years ago. There was a hype that, the population is exploding and the fertility is too high and we need to reduce population size, reduce population growth. The same hype and noise is now. Fertility has gone down. Oh, we should increase the population, increase the fertility. The reality is that fertility has gone down in many parts of the world. This is actually a fact. In from Japan to Europe, and to America, many, many places on Earth, we see fertility is going down. The whole point is that We do believe that we should not be panicking about this. It's more as is about the fact, and we just make sure that highlight the point that the fertility decision is a complex socio-economic decision by each woman, and the whole point is about reproductive agency of that woman. That woman should have the right to decide whether 1, 2, 3, n number of children, this is her rights. And the whole structures, government, NGOs, international organizations should work around this concept to provide information and services for the women so that they can achieve their desired level of fertility. And hopefully, with the policies that encourage higher fertility, if fertility is going down, They can convince women that, okay, let's have more children or not. This is beyond the reproductive agency concept. The main point, the cornerstone of this discussion, the centerpiece of the discussion is that bodily integrity and bodily autonomy, the decision of how many children and when a woman should have is her decision. And only her decision. Thanks.
Okay. And what is the impact to Earth if there are not enough population?
That's an interesting question as well. Actually, the figures don't show there is not enough population. Actually, the world population is relatively globally is increasing. Of course, some parts of the world has higher rate of increase and some less. So the question actually is whether people, women, can exercise their fundamental human rights to make that decision, how many children they want to have. That's actually the main question to me. So it's not about whether it's enough or not. It's about whether women have the agency and decision-making authority to make that decision about the number and the timing of their children. And all the studies, actually, we did have another report a few years ago that showed that actually half of the pregnancies in the world were not intended then. It means half of them were unintended. They were accidents. Of course, not all of them unwanted. It was an accident and women accepted and moved on. Some, unfortunately, resulted in other course of action. The whole point is that making sure that those half of the world pregnancies that were unintended hopefully one day become intended, and at the time that when a woman is ready and eager to have a child.
Okay, so it needs an agreement from both husband and wife, the mutual mm-hmm. agreement. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The main decision maker is still a woman, and of course, she make that decision in consultation with her partner.
Okay, and from 14 countries that UNFP have taken surveys, which country that you think is vulnerable to fertility issue and why?
Look, There are countries that have a very low fertility. That's the reality. But as I mentioned, overall, the global population is still increasing. In fact, it's expected that population will increase globally, with an exception of one part of the world, Europe. We are expecting that between now and 2050, there will be a population decrease. But frankly, the overall global trend, the population is still increasing. There is a fertility decline in parts of the world, in Europe, in Japan, in Korea, in China, in some of the ASEAN countries, in many parts of the Europe, many parts of the Middle East. We can see that fertility has declined. But I can tell you that the average, we have seen average global fertility going down since 50. It is expected that to reach around 2.1 by middle of this century, to 2050. So I will say it's not necessarily something to be worried about, but paying attention to that is important, because the configuration of the population structure will be changed. If there is low fertility, then gradually the society will be more aging and more elderly compared to the children. So that will be an issue to take into account and consider planning for.
Besides fertility issue, there's also a decision to be child-free living. Will it be a solution amid overpopulation and uncertainty, or any other alternatives?
I have heard the discourse around child-free intention in Indonesia. We don't have any information or data on it, and I'm not sure how we can consider that as a point. But I want to highlight this very important cornerstone, centerpiece of my argument. The decision is with woman, whether she wants to have a child or not, how many children she wants to have. This is her decision, of course, in consultation with her partner and other factors that she takes into account. But ultimately, the main message is that the focus is on woman. She should decide how many children she wants to have.
All right. Now we move to the current and future trends in the global population. What could you elaborate, and also about the growth of the youth population nowadays?
Thank you so very much. I appreciate this. It's very important. I can talk about it for hours, but let me just try to summarize it in a few minutes.
Yes.
So, population dynamics, what we call it, or population trends, have three major elements in it. These three elements work with each other and define the population trends in any given country or society. One is fertility. Second is mortality. And the third one is migration. These three work together. So if a fertility is high, mortality is low, there's no migration, population will increase. If fertility is low, mortality is low, migration is high, then population will increase. And all of this playing with these three factors, how it works. So the interaction of these three elements together determine the population trends in any given country. And your question is about the global trends. So what we see, what has happened particularly in recent decades, last 5-6 decades, mortality has gone down significantly. We see that most of the diseases can be now treated or cured or managed, and age, the life expectancy, the number of years that a person expects to be alive is increasing in almost all countries around the world. So mortality has gone down significantly as one of the elements all over the world. There are exceptions, of course. Some places there are still high level of mortality because of communicable disease and so on and so forth. But generally, globally, mortality has gone down. Fertility has gone down as well in most parts of the world. Nowadays, women have lower number of children that they did have 100 years ago or 60 years ago. This is totally a different world, and I will explain a bit about this one. And the third one is the migration. People move between the cities and rural areas, or between different cities, or between different countries. So migration also is a determining factor. There's not a specific trend about migration globally, except that number of global migration, inter-country migration, has been increased since 60, 70 years ago. More people are mobilized and moved between the countries than 60, 70 years ago. But let me go back to the issue of fertility, which is part of your question and the most important element of this question, particularly when we are looking at the youth issue. Fertility has declined around the world, and there is a reason for that. It's not that people have decided, okay, we don't want to have many children, as simple as it is. No, there are a lot of socioeconomic topics have come together to make that decision for a woman. And those include, for example, 100 years ago, a young girl, her role in the society was defined to go and get married and have some children and manage a family. Today's world, girls are expected to finish the high school, go in and university, attend university, start a job for themselves, and establish a career for themselves. So as a result, they delay having a child from the early ages, young ages, to the later stage, like when they are reaching 30 years old or more than that. So the whole point is that, first of all, there is a new hegemony for the girls and young women around the world. And all the governments, once their half of the population, women, to be educated, to be part of the workforce, to contribute to the society and economic growth of the country and so on and so forth, they don't encourage them to drop out of the school and drop out of the university, drop out of the job market, and go get married and have children. That's not what the policies around the world is. And the right policies is that, because women should achieve their own full potential in the life. They have equal rights as men, and rightly so. They should attend to the schools, attend to the job, attend to the higher education, and so on and so forth. That's one element. The other element is the new world. The new world is full of urban areas. Most of the people in the world nowadays live in cities. And imagine that in the cities we cannot have the same number of children as we did have 100 years ago in the rural areas. Cities are congested. We have limited space in our small apartments. Commutation is important. Services, water, school, all these elements makes people to think, oops, should I have one or two or three? How many children I should have? They cannot afford to have a large family size nowadays in the current urban setting. So in short, there are several elements that makes fertility going down all over the world. It's a phenomenon global. Thank you. I told you I will talk about these things for hours. I will be talking.
Wish we could have another occasion for that. Okay, now talking about the situation here in Indonesia, what could you reveal to our listeners here in Indonesia and around the world? And also, how can this year's theme be implemented in Indonesia?
In Indonesia, I think the government and other actors in this country are quite active, and they are well in well advanced on many fronts. I think the most important element is that Indonesia, unlike some other countries that already they have experienced a very low fertility and aging population, still the Indonesian population is growing, and what we call it population dividend or demographic dividend, or we call it in Bahasa, I think, bonus demography. The whole point is that now there is a bulk of young population in the country that ready to contribute to this beautiful and vast country in terms of economic growth and wealth creation. They need proper economic policies, proper education policies, proper health policies to make sure that the human capital is ready to make significant contribution to this economy and making it much more prosperous and wealthier than it is. That's one element. The second element is that this young population that is still are in Indonesia and can contribute to the economy of the country, they should also be well informed about several elements of their own sexual and reproductive health elements. So for that, we recommend a bit of what we call it adolescent reproductive health education, basically talking to the children and young people at the appropriate age, in an appropriate language, about some elements that can help them to be safe and healthy and grow healthy and safer than before. So we call it adolescent reproductive health education. Several ministries are involved: Ministry of Education, Primary Education, Ministry of Religious Affairs, and also we are working with the two main institutions, Muhammadiyya and Nahdlatul Ulama, that working with them to make sure that their also education system includes some element of this adolescent reproductive health. And I think those are examples of very successful and important initiatives that Indonesia has taken. I'm pretty sure with these efforts and this vision that the country has for upcoming years, I am pretty sure Indonesia will shine on this front, surely.
Okay, Mr. Hassan Mohtashami, representative of United Nations Population Fund Indonesia, thank you so much for your brief insight, actually, because you said we could do it for an hour about the World Population Day. So having one child, that's okay. That's the rights of the mother. And also after consulting with the husband and medical experts, if necessary. So stay empowering young people to create the families they want in a fair and hopeful world. Thank you so much for joining us on today's VOI Talk.
Thank you. Terima kasih banyak.
Well, listener, that's today's VOI Talk on the occasion of the World Population Day 2025. Stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks on VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sendiri, ku merasa voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
That is the sound of the king of the fruits, durian. People say durian is not for everyone, but stay with me to find out why durian is actually for everyone. Hello everyone, right now I am in Alas Malang Central Java, the central farm for durian bower, the special durian from Alas Malang Central Java. Durian is a spiky fruit, famous for having a strong scent. Durian is native to Southeast Asia, so it has a lot of cousins. You might be familiar with blackthorn, musangking, and montong. And in Indonesia, we have petruk, medan, bawor, kaligesing, and many more. Whatever the variation, people's top of mind about durian is of course the scent and the taste. But there is one Mr. Sarno, a durian farmer from Alas Malang Central Java, who has a different opinion.
Dan durian ini salah satu makanan yang bisa dinikmati oleh panca indera kita semua.
Durian can be experienced with all of our senses. Our eyes can see the color and size. When we are about to eat it, our nose smells it. Maybe normal, strong, or sweet scented. It means our sight and smell work well. We feel the spike with our skin. We might even bleed. Then we put it into our mouth. Wow, this one is sweet, or that one is bland. And what about hearing? A ripe durian sounds lower when we strike it. Unripe one has a higher sound. Or we hear it fell in our backyard. It beams our ears, also enjoy it.
Kalau yang belum matang, belum lepas. Atau kita punya tanaman di belakang rumah, jatuh. Kita sambil terdengar, berarti telinga kita menikmati.
But from all the senses, which one should we use to pick the best durian?
Ini durian udah matang belum ya? Lah kalau dipukul dalam suara
is this durian ripe?
Tenor,
we test by striking it.
Suara tinggi.
We know there is baritone, tenor, and bass.
Nah, kalau ini suaranya,
high, medium, and low.
Bass.
The ripe one is bass.
Tapi kalau suaranya
so we strike
keras,
it.
So dipukul.
It's ripe. Another durian seller, Mrs. Ngatina, says we also use our nose, our eyes, and our skin.
Wangi. A good durian smells good.
Bagus, wangi.
Iya. Pokok, Bapak kalau beli di mana-mana.
Never buy durian with dry stem.
Ini kalau kering jangan dibeli.
So now we get a ripe durian. Our next mission is to retrieve the durian flesh protected by thick and spiky peel. While some people struggle to open it, Mr. Sardo just takes his razor-sharp blade and then decides on a straight line on the peel to easily cut it open.
Kita ambil tengah-tengahnya ini
just
jalurnya.
Make a straight line like kita this.
Lepas ini. Nah, baru
then
pelan-pelan
we slowly can see the flash. Here it is. Beneath the green, thick, and thorny peel is the shiny golden flesh of durian, the size of an adult's fist. A perfect presentation. But here is the $1 million question. How does it taste?
Sambil ya, ini ya.
Nah. Amazing. This durian just ripened, so it's not bitter. Given more time, it will be a bit bitter, but has a softer texture, like sticky rice. Good durians are commonly soft like custard that melts in your mouth, and sweet like wine. The bad ones are simply bland, don't taste at all. But some people prefer the more exotic mixes in the palate, like sweet, bitter, and sour at the same time. And trust me, the smell is not like socks. So now you find out, apparently durian is not smelly and doesn't taste weird. It has an attractive color and also a lot of benefits for your body. Which means, actually, durian is for everyone. If you want to find durian, you can go to Central Java and they have a special variant over there called durian bawor, or in Purworejo they have the durian kaligesing. That's all for now. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia. Go to world.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, which is a traditional song, we have Sio Mama that was created and popularized by the late Melky Guslow. He is an Indonesian musician who was popular in the 1970s. Sio Mama tells the story of a migrant who misses his mother. He recalled that when he was little, his mother often carried him while burning sago. He also prayed that God would always protect his mother. Well, listener, here's the song Sio Mama by Melky Guslow. Enjoy!